This is the No More Wasted Days podcast, and we're your hosts, Sarah Kaufman Bradstreet
and Heather Peachy. Grab your favorite NA drink and listen as we share vulnerable stories so you never feel alone on your alcohol-free journey.
And gain insights from us as we break down our most used tips and strategies that have kept us alcohol-free.
It's time to break free from wasting any more of your days to the drinking, blackout, hangover cycle.
Welcome to another episode of the No More Wasted Days podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sarah.
And I'm Heather.
And we are talking about a very cool topic today. It is finding ourselves again after ditching alcohol. And Heather gave it all that she needed to right there. You guys, this is something big we talk about in the Daymakers community. And it's something where people say, I don't feel like me. I just don't know who I am anymore. So We're going to really dive into this for you today. And if you're feeling like this, just know you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even me, I know I share a lot of the positives of ditching alcohol, but this was definitely something that tripped me up in the beginning and made me be like, whoa, what do I even like? Who am I?
I think this is such a cool topic. And I wish I had heard something like this at the beginning of my journey. And it's a great reminder, even though I'm about to hit 3 years, it's a great reminder that it's like an ongoing process and we are all a work in progress.
Yes, definitely. And it's good to come back to this stuff all the time. So today we're going to take you through why was alcohol actually clouding your true identity? And then we're going to take you through 3 ways of finding yourself again. We're going to talk about the ego and how we have to learn to work with it. We have to learn how to identify it. And then we're going to talk about freeing yourself from the comparison game. And at the very end, we're going to give you a really cool exercise that will help you identify your true identity. So be sure to stick around to the very ending so you can get that. It takes only about 5 to 10 minutes to do. And it's a game changer. If you're kind of going, people keep saying live to your true self, and I don't know who my true self is, this is going to help a lot. But before we dive all the way in, we want to invite you to the Daymakers community and one-on-one coaching with Heather. You can pick one of those or both of those if you're feeling like you need a little extra support on your alcohol-free journey. In the Daymakers, we offer 6 to 8 group coaching calls, and half of those are led by Heather and half of them are led by me. And there are recordings, so if you can't be on live, there's an amazing message thread. And Heather, will you tell us a little bit about coaching?
Yeah, so what I'm working with a lot of my clients right now is this very topic. Who am I without alcohol? And if you're struggling with your identity, like I'm almost 44 and I see a trend when people hit certain milestones in their life and they quit drinking and they're like, I have no idea who I am. Even if you don't drink that much and alcohol's not your whole identity, I work with a lot of people who are just like, God, like my kids went to college or, you know, I've got seniors now and I just don't know who I am. So yeah, that's a little bit about what I'm working on with my folks. So if you're interested, check out the show notes and let's connect.
Yeah. Check out the link and figure out if it's a good fit for you. So like I said before, we're going to talk first about how alcohol actually clouded your true identity, because there's actually some science behind this. So if you just quit and you're feeling really low, you're not feeling like your normal energetic self in the beginning, totally normal. Because as a drinker, you started to believe maybe that your only source of fun was alcohol. That's what I believed. And when I've talked to other people, they thought that as well. Were you stuck in that trap?
I was so stuck in that trap.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought that it made me funny. I thought it just made my whole personality. So all of a sudden I quit and I was like, who am I? But here's the deal. It's messing with your dopamine receptors. So if you just quit, you're brand new to this journey, your dopamine is at an all-time low because you have been giving yourself this false dopamine. It's real dopamine to your body, but the way you're giving it to yourself is really unhealthy. And then it's crashing those receptors. And we talked about this a ton in episode 18. So if you're like, man, I want to know more about this, because today I'm just going to give you a brief little thing. So just remember that dopamine enables motivation, learning, and pleasure. And it gives you the determination to accomplish goals and meet your desired needs. So it plays a big part in the whole getting up and going and doing things. So if all of a sudden you're feeling low, you have an inability to focus, you're experiencing mood swings, procrastination, low self-esteem, it's just your dopamine and it's going to catch up. And if you want ways to get more dopamine in your life, go listen to that episode 18. And in the show notes, it should even say where we talk about dopamine. But man, that episode is packed with so much. So definitely go listen to it. And just remember that if you're thinking, man, I got major FOMO, fear of missing out right now, I'm not feeling like myself, totally normal.
Yes, you are not alone. When I first quit drinking, if I'm going to be 100% honest, I felt like I had actual sea legs, like when you get off a cruise.
Yep.
I also felt like I was walking around with no skin. And what I mean by that is I felt everything, all the feelings, all the anxiety, because, you know, I was dopamine depleted. I had quit something that I had been doing for 20 years. And my body, my brain were like, what in the flip are you doing? And I felt brand new. It's trippy because, like, there are so many struggles. And I felt brand new, like I had seen a Disney movie for the first time. And I really felt like I was learning an entire new person, a new self. And I was, I'm a Taurus, if anybody's into astrology, I'm really like headstrong and determined, thank goodness, because I went on a self-discovery journey while battling cancer.
You're like, let's do it all.
And trying to stay sober. That is the go big or stay home. And like talking about the ego and whatnot, if I had learned that maybe in the beginning or had ears to hear, I think I would have felt better.
Yeah, definitely. I love it when you say, well, I don't love it for you, but the walking around with no skin really does feel like your armor has been taken off. Your little secret armor when you would drink a little bit.
Yeah.
And it would make you feel so courageous. False courage, right?
Yes.
But all of a sudden it's gone. It's hard. And I think people don't talk about it enough. They don't give it the fair time that it deserves. So there's an actual reason in your body why it's happening. Have you heard about the vagus nerve?
A little bit. I'm really, really interested in learning more about it.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on it just really quick. And it is something that I urge you to Google, go learn more about if you're kind of going, okay, I want to know more. But the vagus nerve, I feel like a lot of self-help gurus talk about it. Like you see people saying like, oh, your vagus nerve is overstimulated, da, 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 da. And you're like, well, what the heck is it? So when you drink, before I dive into what it is, just know that when you drink, it really attacks your vagus nerve. It's all of a sudden all out of whack because alcohol has been blocking its function. And the vagus nerve runs all the way from our brain to our intestine. So it's kind of super important. If I can say so myself, I guess you can tell I'm not a doctor when I say it's kind of super important. But it's it's part of your parasympathetic system, which helps with rest and digest. It's responsible for specific body functions such as your digestion, heart rate, and immune system. And when it's out of whack or being blocked, you experience gastrointestinal issues and your brain may be telling your heart to overreact to things like everyday anxiety, heat, and hunger. And oh my gosh, when I read that, I was like, yep, anytime I had a hangover, right? All those things. Had a hangover, it was anxiety.
Yep. And like that to be TMI, but the GI stuff, that is so real and people don't talk about it. And in the big Facebook group for No More Wasted Days, I was like, is this normal? Like this was 3 years ago. Like, is this normal? Is anybody else experiencing that?
Yeah.
So it's a really soft place to land when you're like asking these like kind of personal questions and seeking validation.
Yeah, because alcohol really is doing a lot more damage than we realize. And everybody talks about gut health these days. And alcohol is ruining your gut health because it's alcohol. I would imagine, I don't know, if you're a doctor and you're listening and you can tell me. But I would imagine since it's alcohol, it goes in and it kills all the bacteria, good and bad. And when you're trying to rebalance all that after you quit, that may be a reason why. But it is also this vagus nerve. And without the vagus nerve functioning properly, we have started to think that we only live in one way. We lived stressed, anxiety-ridden, but it's just because our body's not working properly. And I found this information so interesting. Just hearing just a little bit of it, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to learn more when I have the time. And I urge you to do the same kind of deep dive. And maybe Heather and I will take on some research on this too, because I know both of us find this fascinating to find out more and more ways that alcohol is really taking a toll on our body. So that's kind of why it's happening. So if you're feeling this, you're not alone. And now we're going to dive into the three different ways we can really get in touch with our true selves. And the first way we're going to do that is we're going to dive all into ego. And I'm going to let Heather take it away.
Yes. So we're going to talk about ego. If y'all have been listening for a while, or if you're new, I really like to define things. So let's define the ego first. For years, I thought it was like a bad thing, like being cocky, arrogant, etc. Like I had a friend that had a post-it note on her refrigerator that was like, your body's writing checks that you can't cash, like just cocky, arrogant type of stuff. That's really what I thought an ego was, like you're being egotistical. So what is ego? It's intrigued philosophers, psychologists, and spiritual seekers for centuries. Ego can be defined as part of our identity that gives us a sense of self-importance and separates us from others. It truly is the voice in our head that tells us we are separate individuals with unique desires, beliefs, and experiences. So just keep that in mind. We're going to talk about how to work with your ego, not get rid of it, because it really does play a role in shaping our personality and guiding our behavior. I think it's really essential to understand the ego for personal growth. Mm-hmm. So an inflated or unchecked ego can also lead to arrogance, selfishness, and the inability to connect with others on a deeper level.
And that is what I think of ego as, is the inflated ego. So when Heather added that to our notes, I was like, oh yeah, because a lot of the research I have done really does talk about ego being this kind of negative thing. And I was with Heather on that I felt like it was too. But it's going to be there. Like, we can't take it away. It's just part of being a human. So lots of people talk about it all differently because there just really is no one end-all, be-all definition. So if you're listening to it with one person and they're talking about it in a different way, just know that you really need to get to know your ego. And the way I have mostly learned about it is through Gabby Bernstein, who talks a lot about a book called A Course in Miracles. And in A Course in Miracles, the ego is the voice that's often trying to bring us out of the good times and back into a place of fear. And I don't think that that is because ego is bad. I think that is because ego knows what is comfortable. And ego's going, hey, 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 don't try to reach out there and find those really good things because we're okay right here. And that's just a part of human nature. We want to stay where it's comfortable, even if it's harming us.
Definitely. And You Are a Badass, the book, I can't remember the author. She really goes into the ego also. So that could be a good resource. It's an easy read.
Yeah, it's a super easy read. I love that one. For me personally, when we're looking at our new alcohol-free life, I think the ego is super inflated when we're drinking. It is the thing telling us, you're not going to have fun without alcohol. You're not going to be able to do this. You should just stay drinking. My ego forever was telling me, you're a drinker. That's what you need to do. And it was just saying, you're doing just fine as a drinker. And then it would list all these things to me that I did while I was drinking. And I was still successful. So I still had a teaching job. I was still parenting, getting my kids places. That was my ego saying, you got this. You don't need to change. Did you have those voices?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that that's just the way I lived. I had no idea that on the other side of a significant change was an opportunity for amazing self-improvement. Mm-hmm. I had no clue of that.
Yeah. And I mean, and the thing is too, even as a drinker, I worked a lot on I love self-help books. I love to read them. So I was listening to them as a drinker. I listened to You Are a Badass as a drinker. But I think when I finally quit is when all that stuff finally started to click for me. So I think of ego as a little creature living in dark corners of our brain. And it wants us to go there with it. When things are going good, it's going, hey, this is going too good. Come over here. And it's not allowing us to live a life that's full of love and our true self. But we can shine a light on that ego, kind of like a gremlin, and diminish it. That's how I think Brené Brown talks about shame in this way, too. Like, share about your shame and it will start to die. But I think even about the ego, like if I can live a life so full of love, my ego's going to get the point sooner or later. Like, oh, that's who we are. And my ego still talks to me in inflated ways, for sure. It's just never going to go away. But I use something called the choose again method. This is something I talk about a lot in the Daymakers because I learned it last year and I use it a lot in different ways. The choose again method is from Gabby Bernstein, who I already talked about before. If you're not following her on social media and you like people who talk about manifesting and just really a lot of inner work, go check her out. She's definitely worth giving a listen to. But the ego says, why are you trying to quit drinking? This is stupid. You were just fine with alcohol. Or maybe the ego is saying something like, you'll always be a drinker. You'll never get past this. So now you're going to use the choose again method. So first you're going to acknowledge the thought. You're going to go, okay, I hear you thought. I understand that you're thinking this. And then you're going to apologize to your true self, the opposite of your ego, for having the thought. Thank you for revealing to me what I don't want so that I can clarify what I do want. So you can just thank that negative thought because it's helping you realize what you don't want. And then you're going to choose a new thought. So what's the easiest thought to go to that will start to make you feel better? You can't be like, I'm going to choose the biggest far away thought. You have to make it really close. Because if you're like, you can use this when you're angry. You can use this when you're sad. So you can use this anytime. But you can just say, I'm choosing to live a life free from alcohol so I can see my true self. Clear enough. Or I don't have to be stuck as a drinker. I actually choose to be a non-drinker now and be free from being chained to any substance. And then you use this method again, rinse and repeat. What I love about it is it's like its title tells you what to do, the choose again method. And you're kind of like, what am I going to do? Have you used this method yet?
I have. Not this exact form, but I went to Wayfinder Life Coach training to get my certification to be a life coach. And we call it the inner critic and the lizard brain. And that's kind of like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And my name is Jupiter. You can play with it and make it your own so that you're in charge. You're driving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just a little way to check your ego and even to kind of say, is it inflated or is it just doing what it needs to? Because when you think about it, it's good to have a little confidence in yourself the way ego can give you. But it's just sometimes can work a little bit too well.
It's just really important. And it's so clear and simple to choose your thought. And if you say like, I choose not to drink, that is so powerful and empowering.
Yeah. I always remind myself that this is a choice I make every day. So when I am starting to feel like, oh, this is a punishment. Why do I do this? I'm like, I'm choosing this. And then I think I'm so lucky that I'm choosing this. Like I'll even start making it even better and better and better for myself. The next way we can start working with our ego is to talk less and to do more.
Preach.
Yes. You have to quit talking about the things you're going to do and you got to go do them because your ego will spend all this time letting you think about it. It will let you talk about it. It will let you tell your best friend about it. And then it will say, hey, you already did it. It's kind of like you're visualizing, but then you're not taking action. So you got to be really careful about this because in the end, you might be left accomplishing nothing. And you're just talking about this huge goal and nothing is happening. And I'm sure we all know those people. They talk about things they're going to do and they just never do them. The people that aren't talking, they're the ones doing stuff. And they're the ones you're watching going, what? How the hell did they do that? I didn't even know they were working on that. Yeah, because they're working so hard. So you have to show people what you're doing. Stop telling them. And this is going to help that ego out so much. And it's going to make it go, okay, yeah, we're just doing things now.
Right. Because when you do the thing, whatever it is, say you're going to stop drinking for 30 days or you're going to move your body for 30 days. If you do what you say you're going to do, it builds so much trust in yourself. And that's how you accomplish a lot of things in the doing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I always talk about how my confidence increased when I quit drinking. And it's because every day I woke up and told myself I wasn't going to drink. And then I followed through. And that was big for me. The ego might do this in another way of name dropping. So if you're talking to someone and you're really catching yourself saying a lot of things to almost brag, Like I catch myself sometimes doing this with our house build, like, oh no, we're building the house. It is us all by ourselves. And like, oh, and look at this. We also have this following on YouTube and da 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 da. All of a sudden, when I hear that voice happening, I'm like, whoa, check yourself and go get to work. Go get to work on the house build. Go get to work on the YouTube channel. And then I just put the blinders on. There's no need to brag. People are watching. They don't need to hear about it.
That's right. And I think it's so cool that you're so transparent about that and you catch yourself. Like,
it's hard.
Yeah. And I have learned over the past 3 years, when you're having these thoughts, it is really helpful to quote unquote tell on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having these thoughts, just get it out and then try to execute.
Yeah. And you might feel it too. We'll talk about it a little bit when we talk about comparison, but you might catch it on your alcohol-free journey where you're kind of like, I'm 2 years on my journey and that person is only 1 year. Like I do catch myself sometimes doing that because I follow a lot of sober content creators and I'll think, I'm almost 5 years. I'm like, who cares? We are all on a journey. We are all sharing our stories so other people can hear them and know that they're not alone. And that's what's important. And then that's when I think, don't even put those blinders on and go do the work. The last thing with working with your ego, and Heather talks about this a lot. She always says this, and I love it, is to be curious.
Yes. Get curious about anything.
Mm-hmm.
If something, like if you're not drinking, you got a lot of time on your hands, right? Yep. Get curious about the weird thing or whatever it is. Look it up, research it. Get into the contemplative state of change. You can tell I'm a social worker. But anyway, you know, get so curious about something.
Yeah.
And get it and go do it. Yeah. Or go be it.
And the reason we do this is because the ego thinks it already knows everything. The ego is like a 13-year-old. And I know because I have two of them. And it's like they think they know everything and they don't need to hear from mom and dad. That's your ego. If your ego is hearing about a topic, like say you're scrolling through podcasts and you see a topic and you're like, I don't need that one. I already know enough about that. I do it. I do it, everybody. I go through some of my favorite podcasts and I go, I don't want that one. I already know about that. And then I'll say, true self is curious and always wants to learn more and will hear things differently at different points on your journey.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's huge. Like for the day makers, sometimes I'll say, I've talked about this before. You guys have heard this topic before, but I bet you're in a different place in your journey. And today you're going to hear it in a different way.
Absolutely. Going back to the change cycle, it takes about 8 times to make some type of change. So if you're in the state of, oh, I already know that, that is your ego talking. And that means you need to listen.
Yeah.
Or explore. Or do.
And so just challenge yourself. Start being curious about lots of things. And when you are thinking to yourself, I already know that. I bet you don't know every single thing. I know I've always got room to grow and room to learn. The good thing is I love learning. So it's a good thing. So that's what we've got on ego for you guys. We're going to now go into talking about judgment or comparison of others, because a lot of times when we're on this journey to find our true identity, who the heck are we? We start looking at other people for inspiration, but then all of a sudden they start bringing us down. So remember this quote by Theodore Roosevelt, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes, just it is.
Let it sink in, everybody. Like, it is just so important to remember that one. I feel like I say that quote to myself like once a day because we live in a world with social media now. Like, I think about growing up in the 90s. I didn't know what Rita over in New Hampshire was doing. I didn't even know she existed, right?
Right.
But now I know that Rita's on an alcohol-free journey just like me, and she looks like she's got all her shit together, and her kids look awesome in pictures, and she just looks like she's living the best life. And why am I not looking like that? So I thought we all have Rita in our life. She's totally made up, you guys. I just came up with that.
I love it.
But I do. Like, I think about growing up in the 90s, so different. The 80s, the 70s. It's just like, that was so different than what our kids are having to do. And you talk about keeping up the Joneses, like keeping up with your neighbors. Like, it's worldwide now. And it's hard. So if you're on an alcohol-free journey and you're on, what is it, like sober TikTok or sober Instagram, that's a great place to be. But if all of a sudden you're watching and you're going, oh my God, she just loves being alcohol-free so much. She loves this and that and that. And look at her. She's having a great time. And I don't feel that. Well, guess what? If you're watching me and you're feeling like that, that's because all I share about is my sober. I share about my sober journey. And I share about what I think is going to inspire people the most. And what's going to inspire people the most is hearing that it's working. I share every now and then about struggles, but then I'll share how I overcame them, right? So that's, I don't go on social media and say, guys, I had the same fight with my daughter that I've had for three times this week. We just keep having the same fight because I'm not a parenting person. Like, that's not my area that I'm sharing. So, and I don't share with all of you that some days I just want to crawl under the covers and go back to bed. And I just share this little sliver of my life. And that is what everyone is doing on social media. And even me knowing that, I still forget. And I watch other people and I'm like, man, they show up all the time with their hair done and their makeup. And then I think, well, maybe they actually just do their hair and makeup for one day and then make all their content. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just don't get caught up in it.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to remember that how we know ourselves is through other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because without other people, we wouldn't get to explore ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So comparison is the thief of joy. And when you're scrolling on social media, if you follow me, or I can't speak for Sarah, like, for instance, I had an issue with my spouse. She played a joke on me after a medical procedure and thought she was falling, and I screamed F you in the parking lot. Like, y'all don't see that part of our lives is what I'm trying to say. So
yeah, if you're following,
I do not have it together.
Yeah, if you're following yourself around with a camera that much so we can catch all of the bad too. I mean, I even do a vlog with my husband where we're building a house and the camera is off a lot. Like, we're just catching the part where we know it's going to put together the correct episode. Like, if I'm irritated, the camera's not on. It's just kind of like, just know that about people who are sharing. Yes, they're sharing their authentic self, but they're always also getting to pick and choose. The other thing I want you to remember is if you're watching people who are sharing things, remind yourself that you can get that too. When I see other people sharing things and I think, oh man, like for instance, the podcast, like we know what our download numbers are, but we might watch other people and they'll announce, oh my God, we have this many downloads, and we'll be like, ooh. And I always take a screenshot and send it to Heather. And I'm like, we can do this too. If they can do it, we can do it. So instead of going, oh, why did they get that? Why did they get this boost? Like, no, there's enough for you too. Always remind yourself that there's enough to go around. And when people are showing their success, it is showing you what's possible. But you need to receive it in that way. If you're going into it going, oh man, why do they get it? And I don't. That's what the energy that you're going to put out. So instead think, dang, that is so cool for them. I'm so excited for them.
Yeah. And the cool thing about connecting with other sober people is when Sarah and I use these screenshots and we're talking about our podcast, she reminds me of these things when I get, you know, in the mud about it. So my point is, like, having connection with other sober people who get it, who are trying to find themselves and go on this journey. It's just really important, in my opinion.
Yeah. And if you're a person who's, you know, you're on day 30 and you're getting to see people celebrate year one and you're like, man, that feels so far away. Instead, think, I can do that too. Nothing separates me from them except time, and time's going to pass. So I'm going to choose to be alcohol free during that time. So just check yourself in the comparison game. And then this is the very last thing we'll share with you today. This exercise is so cool. It's going to help you really identify your true self, because I spoke about this in, I believe when you guys listen to this, it'll be two episodes ago. But I spoke about how people say, live your life to your true self. And you're like, who the heck is my true self? I don't even know what I like. So you're going to do this activity when you're alone. Who are you when you're alone? I want you to start thinking about that. When no one is around, and maybe you're a mom and a wife and it's hard to get away, but really focus. Picture yourself all alone. What do you choose to do with this time? And then start creating time to do those things. I know that's really hard. I really get that that's so hard to find that time as an adult, but really picture, what would I do if I was all alone? What would you do if you're all alone?
I just absolutely love this exercise, and I actually closed my eyes. I would be in my car. You know this, Sarah, because I do a lot from my car because I run around like a teetotal chicken with my head cut off. But yeah, I just would probably be in my car just like visualizing and fantasizing. Because, you know, I'm a mom and a wife. So yeah. Of course I would be in the car.
I know that's mostly when I'm alone, too. It's so funny. I volunteer to take my kids places because I know I'll get alone time in the car. Mm-hmm. I think my husband's on to me, though, and he's starting to want that time. And I'm like, no, thank you. When I am alone in my car, the one thing I always choose to do, I choose to blast music that I love and sing. Because I don't get to do that when I'm at home. I've got teenagers that are like, your music's done, Mom. If everybody has to hear Brandi Carlile's The Story one more time in my family, they're going to be so mad at me. But the moment I'm alone, that is on my phone with the lyrics on. And I am like, oh, my God, I love this song.
That's what I'm going to listen to on my way to get my daughter today.
Oh, it's the best.
Yes.
So start creating time to do those things. I mean, if it really came down to it, if I was all alone, I would love to play the piano and sing and play the guitar and sing and do all my musical outlet stuff. I don't have the time to do that. So if it's being in your car singing, do it. If it's being in your car listening to a book about the thing you really want to do, do it. Then the next thing is to picture yourself as a child or a teenager. What did you love to do when you were alone? Guess what, everybody? I really loved to lip sync and look at myself in the mirror. How ego-driven is that one? But I was picturing myself growing up, be a rock star, being Chanelta, throwback to the journaling episode. But it is like, I have always loved music, obviously, and performing. So I'm like, man, when I was alone, the music was on. So how can I make time for that music again in my life? What was your thing when you were a teenager child?
I have to say, when I was new to the Daymakers community, picturing myself as a teenager or a child was like life-changing. I was a cheerleader and a dancer. And when I was alone, I would like create dances, choreograph, all these things. And perform in front of my family. So you and I are very similar in like the performative, you know, I would like Janet Jackson's If video.
Oh, yeah.
I had that to an absolute T.
You're like, so, I love that. I just love it so much.
Like hidden facts about Heather. Like who would ever think that I had If to a damn T, but I did.
You're like, it's there. And so make some time to do it again. Pull out the playlist. So, yes. And I know me and Heather are talking a lot about music stuff, dance stuff. And if you're like, I don't like any of that, then what did you like as a kid? Another thing I loved when I was a kid was swimming. I loved swimming. It was just I felt free in the water. So I try to remind myself of that. And I go, when can you go swimming? And when you go to the lake with your kids, do not just sit in the sun, go get in the lake.
Yes.
And I'm like, because adult me, for whatever reason, is like, no. But once I'm out there, I'm like, oh, I'm free. I always tell my husband, when you see a middle-aged lady floating in the lake, that's a mom who has no more F's to give. And she's
Absolutely.
Floating away.
She is about to rent a, this is me, going to rent a jet ski this summer because we live near the lake.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just me, myself, and I. And I'm going to tear it up. Because that's what I used to do as a kid. We would go to the lake on a boat, jet skis. And then we had a beach house, so I was in water. So, like, just really get curious about what you did. Mm-hmm. It may not be as theatrical as me and Sarah, but just think about, like, what made you feel free and gave you joy and go do it.
And it's actually the last part of it is to close your eyes and think of a time that you felt immense joy all on your own. What were you doing? And can you do it again? And I'll put all these in the show notes for you guys so you can go in there and you can look at them and you can work through these three things. But just really think of a time you felt immense joy all on your own. What were you doing? Can you do it again? I'm trying to think of mine.
I am so excited to hear what folks say about this.
Yeah.
Because this just lights me up.
Yeah. It really is. So, like, it makes me kind of go, Like I can feel like, oh, one of the things is singing, listening to music when I just felt so joyful. So I need to make sure that happens again, because I'll be 100% honest with you guys. When I was a drinker, that's a part of me that really went away. I wasn't like, I was listening to music, but I wasn't intentional. Like now I make playlists that are Sarah sings along playlist, and I'll go, oh my God, I need to add this song. Now I read the lyrics again, the way I used to as a teenager, to learn all the songs, all the lyrics to the album. Like I do that again, and it's so fun.
The first thing that came to my mind is the jet ski, really, and like the freedom. And I drive them very recklessly, but I'll be careful and safe. I'm older now, so more to come.
You won't be doing the circle thing to throw your friend off. That's what my friend always did to me.
I'm really good at that. So more to come on that. But like, for real, like think about it. And when you experience true joy without booze, it is memorable. My clients tell me all the time, like, oh my gosh, I felt joy for the first time. And that makes me like seriously want to cry. I'm not going to cry. But like, it just brings me joy to hear that from other people.
Yeah, me too. When people say that, because that's one thing I remember from when I was brand new on my alcohol-free journey. And obviously, I still experience it. But realizing like, I'm happy. And going, oh, I'm happy and I'm aware, because maybe I thought I was happy when I was drunk, but I wasn't fully aware. I wasn't fully present for it. And the way I would remember it the next day wasn't fully, it was clouded when I would remember it the next day. And now I can actually go, oh man, that was so fun yesterday when I did X, Y, and Z.
Yes. So
do that exercise of what do you do when you're alone? Because that's who you are. That's your true person. And it's okay if you just find out you're a person who you're like, oh, I love music and I love to be outside and I love, like, it's not going to be this grand, I am a person who wants to donate all this money and wants to do all these charitable things. Like, it really is like, these are the things I like to do. Oh, that's my true self. And then you can start saying, is how I'm filling my time in alignment with that? Is drinking in alignment with that? And it will really, really help you. So I really hope you take the time to go through all these, especially that exercise at the end. And I just want to remind you again that if you're brand new on your journey and you're feeling lost, you're feeling like, I don't know who I am, it's totally normal. And just start taking time to recognize the voice of your ego, then catch yourself in the judgment game. Don't judge yourself when you catch yourself in the judgment game. Just redirect yourself. And then take some time to complete that exercise at the very end. So I really hope this material helped you. And if you want more of me and Heather in your life, then check out the Daymakers community. Check out Coaching with Heather.
And check us out on social media. I'm at According to HPG on Instagram. And Sarah, I'll let you say your handle.
My crazy one. You might be able to just look up No More Wasted Days, but my handle is No_more_wasted_days on Instagram and on TikTok. And then on Facebook, you can just find me by looking up No More Wasted Days. So,
yeah.
And if you have a moment, of which I'm sure you have the 1 second it really takes, go rate the podcast. It's just a way to say thank you to Heather and I. And it really helps bring this podcast to more people. It's what tells all the podcast apps, people are liking this podcast and we should offer it up to more people. So hit that rate button, give us whatever star rating you think is appropriate. And if you have a moment, give us a written review, but otherwise just hit the subscribe or follow button.
Yeah. It makes me really happy to read the reviews and see the stars. So that is a really good way to help the podcast reach other folks as well.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening and we'll catch you next week. Bye, y'all.